Publisher Podcast, episode 124. Well, hey, hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode, the first true interview of the season of season four. So we are very excited to have you back for another just deep dive into all the things that authors, publishers, publishing professionals need to move forward in their journey. We will be covering topics along writing, publishing, marketing, business growth, new tools, all the things. So today I'm excited to bring you Catherine Graham from AutoCrit. AutoCrit is one of our sponsors of the Women in Publishing Summit, and you can check out AutoCrit at womeninpublishingsummit.com/AutoCrit. That's AUTOCRIT. It's a really cool tool, and we're going to dig into all of the benefits of it that can really help you move forward with your writing, reduce your editing costs with some of their editing functions in there, do some story analysis, do a manuscript analysis, which we talked about in this interview, and all kinds of other great things. So I hope you will learn a lot about AutoCrit and make sure to go over and check out their special offer. They do have a lifetime deal. So if you'll be writing multiple books, this is a great tool if you're looking for some help in analyzing your work and making sure that you're writing per the beats of a genre, following the storyline structure, all kinds of cool things. So enjoy the show, and we will see you soon. Welcome to the Publish Her Podcast, a place where you can come to get inspiration, motivation, help, encouragement, and support in your journey to write, publish, and sell your book. Hosted by Alexa Bigwarf. 'Cause I've been where you've been, and I felt what you're feeling, and I don't want to get in your way. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Publisher Podcast. I'm Alexa Bigwarf, your host, and today I have Catherine Graham from AutoCrit. Now, AutoCrit is a really cool tool that Catherine is going to tell you all about in a minute, so I'm not going to steal any of her thunder on that. But it's a tool that I have explored and played around with. I think it's really cool in helping you write your book, refine your book, help you make sure that your book is on the right track for the genre that you're writing for, and all kinds of fun things. So just a great, great welcome and thank you. Thank you very much to AutoCrit as a whole for being a sponsor of our conference for 2 years in a row. We appreciate so much the fact that you're giving back to our community. At the end, we'll talk about your wonderful offer to our community, and just thank you for being here to talk about this today, Catherine.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for shouting out AutoCrit. We love this community, love Women in Publishing, and everything that you guys have done for the writer community. It's just a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much. All right, so let's get into it by first just tell us what AutoCrit is. How does an author use it? And is it for all authors?
Yeah, absolutely. So AutoCrit is a program that helps authors from the planning phase of their book, through writing their book, through editing their book, pretty much all the way up until you're ready to export it out, format it, and send it off for publishing. Not only do we have a writer's desk that has tools to help you outline your book and organize your ideas and get them ready to draft, as well as drafts like voice-to-text dictation, but we also have an editing suite in there for developmental and technical editing, which would be the difference between content editing, like plot holes, character development, world building, and the technical editing would be your grammatical errors, your typos, your line editing for readability and flow and pacing and things like that. We also have a built-in AutoCrit community of writers from all different levels of brand new, I've never actually put pen to paper, all the way up to I've published 47 books and I love AutoCrit so much, and bestsellers. And they're very open, welcoming. It's a great place to go for advice. And then we have instructor-led live clubs that are included in our AutoCrit pro memberships that are basically genre-specific or genre, any genre you want. So we have fantasy clubs, but then we also have accountability clubs for writing sprints and things like that.
You have a robust tool that works very, very well for fiction writers, also creative nonfiction. What about the children's book audience?
But at this time, we're still expanding into the younger children's book audience. We do have a lot of middle grade fiction and young adult authors in our program. And as of November 2023, we have rolled out to not just creative nonfiction, but also instructional nonfiction, self-help, and things like that.
So I know it's kind of hard as a listener to get a feel for what this tool is like just hearing us talk. So I just want to let you know, if you go over to the show notes at womeninpublishingsummit.com under the podcast tab, you can pull up the show notes and I'll include a link to the webinar that we did with the founders, Jocelyn and her husband, that kind of shows you how to use the tool and all the things. So if you want to see what that looks like, you can go check out that webinar. But can you just give us kind of an overview of what happens? I've written a novel or a creative nonfiction piece. I want to use AutoCrit. What do I do?
Absolutely. So if you've written a book already outside of AutoCrit, of course, you can start from scratch in AutoCrit now and write from the very beginning directly in the
Cool.
platform. You can either upload a .docx, upload a .rtf, or a .txt file into AutoCrit and it'll pull all your work in. Or you can copy and paste your work into AutoCrit if you prefer to not do the upload. We've had several authors use other platforms like Google Docs, and they would download their files to a .docx, even if you don't have Microsoft Word on your computer, just to upload it into AutoCrit. And that way it helps keep some of your basic formatting, like your indentions and your italics and things like that in there. But once you have your file in there, you can begin to use our editing features. The newest is our Story Analyzer, which is programmed to work like a human beta reader and give you beginner beta reader style feedback on how clear your story theme comes through
Oh, cool.
and what happens in the chapters and sections that, in my case, I've run one through where it said, you don't have any world building in this chapter. And I went and looked, and sure enough, it was all plot and all conversation and no world building. So I went in and added up, where is this taking place? What's going on around them while they're talking? So it helps you all the way from that very beginning foundational level of your writing, and not just in the how many adverbs do you have, let's replace this here and there aspect of the technical editing.
I think that's really fascinating because I think one of the cool things that the webinar really went into that I just want to briefly go over here is that the tool, if I recall correctly, has been created and designed in a way that it understands structure of different types of writing. So whether it's a YA book or a rom-com or a thriller, when you load it up and you place it under that category, it will search for all of the elements and make sure that you have the proper beats, the proper story arc, the proper build to the conflict and the conflict resolution and all of that stuff, correct?
Correct. Yep. Both on the technical side for style, like, hey, if you're writing horror, here's how fast your sentences would normally be, and yours are super long or super slow. And then the beat sheets are sectioned out. So you have, like, I use Hero's Journey. So I use the plot-centered beat sheets. And then there's character-driven ones. And then there's romance-driven ones. And the tool itself is smart enough to read your document and tell you what it currently reads like in the genre conformity section. So if you're meaning for your story to come across as one genre and it's not coming across that way, there's a chapter by chapter layout and you can start looking through to see where you sort of fell off, where you need to
Wow.
bring it back up to the standard.
See, I think this is just incredible because that's for me when I've written a lot of nonfiction books and then last year published my first fiction book. And the transition from writing nonfiction, prescriptive, self-help, healing type books to writing fiction, where I had to learn all of these new things. I had to learn plot, structure, character development, beats, all of these things that were like foreign words to me at the time. So I think a tool like this is critical for a new fiction writer who doesn't know and understand all of these elements of story structure, of character development, of world building, of all these things that we're talking about. I just, because for me, that's been the hardest part. Like I can sit down and I can write a story. We can all write a story and we can write great stories that are a wonderful story. But one of the things that I know as a book marketer is how critical it is to do the thing that you know subconsciously as a reader, but you may not know as a writer, that readers know to expect in rom-com, for example. They know to expect a meet cute. They know to expect the buildup of the relationship. They know to expect some type of a conflict or argument, fight, breakup, whatever that is, then the resolution of that, and then the happily ever after. But if you're new to writing it and you don't, your brain doesn't translate that subconscious path that you know you read every time, you may not be writing your story to follow those guidelines, but your readers will know if you've missed anything. So I think it's really a cool tool for those of you who are starting out and maybe know some stuff about your genre, but don't know all the things about making sure that you get from A to Z so that your story is more than just a good story. It's an awesome book that really conforms to those norms of the genre. And we don't want to be recreating the wheel at this point. We want to be following what our readers expect, right? So I guess my question would be then, like, you mentioned the community, you mentioned all of the other things. What happens if someone loads their book and the tool spits back information and says, this is reading like a women's fiction, not a romance? Are there then resources to help you get it from women's fiction to romance, or from, women's fiction to thriller? Like, you definitely don't want a thriller book to come back and be like, there's really no thriller to this book.
Absolutely, yes. So part of the feedback that's really helpful is when it says what it reads like, it doesn't just usually say, here's what it reads like, but it tells you why it feels like it reads that way.
Nice.
So I write dark epic and grim dark epic fantasy. Sometimes there's a romantic subplot in there. Most of the time there's not. And I had a book that was not supposed to have any romance at all, come back and it said, this reads like a dystopian dark fantasy with a romantic subplot,
Oh.
because, and then it listed off three specific things that made it read like a romantic subplot. So I was able to go to that chapter and delete those three things. And
Wow.
essentially, when I reran it, it now doesn't say it's a romantic subplot anymore. But there's also community resources where you can go and let's say you're trying to write a romance and it reads like a thriller. We have a romance group in the forums where you can say, hey, can you read my opening chapter and let me know what you think? And people will give you their feedback because sometimes it's things that you need another human perspective on. We also have the in the instructor-led clubs, we have story doctor sessions and critique sessions that are free as part of pro memberships, where people can come in and bring a section they're having trouble with and say, I don't know how to get this from this level to the other. And I'm in the opposite book of you. I'm branching out into nonfiction now that there's the new nonfiction tool. And mine's a how-to guide for a nonfiction related topic. And so I'm not familiar with that. And now there's a nonfiction version of this analyzer.
Oh, cool.
And when I go in there with my nonfiction book, it read my book and it was able to tell me, here's how many examples you have. You need to flesh out your examples. You need to do this to bring in your target audience. Here's the target audience that it looks like you're writing for right now. So I know if I'm on point, if I'm off, and how likely that audience would probably be to keep reading before I ever send it to potentially a human reader to tell me this is way off.
Okay, there's so many things I want to unpack here and dig into. First of all, I'm so glad that you all recognize the importance still of the human community, because as with all AI, and it's getting smarter and smarter and smarter, it's still not only a computer, but it's still the way it works is by reaching out and grabbing parcels of information, right? So there's some things that can be misinterpreted, there's some things that can be a little bit off, and all of that stuff. So my caveat here is, for all AI tools, use them to help you, but also know that does not eliminate, even if there's a self-editing tool in anything, it does not alleviate the need for actual reader feedback, actual human feedback, and actual human editors. So just as a caveat there for anybody who's listening and is a new writer and is thinking, awesome, I can use this tool and I don't have to go to writer critique groups and I don't have to hire an editor. That's not what we're doing. We're doing
No.
all the things to make your book as good as possible to make that part of the process faster and less expensive, hopefully. So let's talk a minute about, and you've been kind of sprinkling in some of the new AI stuff, but you guys just made some major updates in the last few months. Tell us about those and what the tool is for anybody who'd been using it for the last year and maybe hasn't gone back in since then. What new stuff can they expect to find?
Yeah, so as of November 2023, we rolled out the fiction and nonfiction story analyzers, which is the biggest change since I've been with AutorCrit, both as a member and as part of their team. This adds the developmental editing piece to AutorCrit. So you can go in there and get that developmental feedback for either of those genres now. There's also an inspiration studio that will help you generate ideas. So if you have a premise, and let's say I want to write about a historical fiction about a young woman in the 1400s who finds a dead body and wants to solve the murder, I can plug that into the top ideas and then start generating ideas underneath it, and it will give you things to consider for writing the book. I do want to clarify that this is not generative in that it will in no way, either of these tools, they will not write or rewrite your work for you. So it reads work that you've put in. It gives some suggestions and thoughts out, like a human reader that you're bouncing ideas off of, or a human editor, but it will not write anything for you to copy and paste into your book. So 100% of the creative responsibility is still firmly on the shoulders of the writers when it comes to AutorCrit.
Got it. Well, I will have to say though, I've taken a very different stance on AI for writers since I attended a conference in November, actually, and I used to be pretty opposed to it until I heard people actually talking about the way that they're using AI. Some people are writing books completely with AI, generating, then revising and adding things back into it and doing very well. And if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But tools like this, what I really like about it is it really helps you from being stuck. Because that's where I was before I went to the conference. Like, I knew the beginning part of my book, first third of the book, I knew the last third of the book. I was so stuck from getting that middle piece that connected those two that I literally was not writing a day or a word because I couldn't move forward. And then I heard about how people are using AI and these types of tools that help you with ideas and suggestions for moving forward. And since then, I've got like a new lease on writing. Like I've really dug into some of these tools and I'm using them to help me fill in those or just give me a few ideas. Then I'm writing the words, but at least I'm like, oh wow, I hadn't considered that. That's a fabulous idea, or that idea sucks. Let's try again.
Yes. We've got that what happens next built into ours, where you can place the cursor at a spot that you just don't know how to go forward and click the what happens next. And it gives you all these options. It's like, here's what you might do if you want to throw in a twist. Here's what you might do if you want to add tension. Here's what you would do if you want to make this more romantic. There's all these different selections you can choose from. And then it also gives you one that just makes me chuckle. It's like, here's the one you're most likely to do. And it's almost always right.
That's funny. Well, the robots are pretty smart sometimes. They because they've been trained by books, which is good or bad. The way they were trained, a lot of AI was trained is, there's room for discussion on all of that stuff. But the reality is, and your tool as well is trained by open source or public domain, like the Wizard of Oz. Like that's the example that they gave in the workshop with us. But the tools get trained by actual books, so it knows, what should come next and how that should happen. So I think that's a really cool piece of it, is that it allows us to step back and say, I don't maybe know what all the things about this genre or this book or this plot or whatever, or I'm stuck. And can you help me and get some help so that you can move forward, which I just think is a win for everybody. Were there other AI things that you wanted to share about as well?
No, if anything, I just wanted to put everybody's mind at ease that we don't use our members' words to train our
Oh,
AI.
no. Yes,
So
sorry. Sorry. Yes, I don't mean to add confusion there. When I said it was trained by books with you guys in particular, I know it was all open, public domain books
the
that have been
ones we
published,
use are
like
proprietary, but we wouldn't use a member's books to train the AI.
That is
Yep.
so, that's a good, somebody would have that question. I know somebody would say, wait, if I load that, well, that is a great follow-up question. What happens to your words when you upload them to AutoCrit? Who does have access to that?
So you're the only one, if you're talking about the writer's desk where all the writing and editing happens, you are the only one with access to your work. You'd have to give our team permission to view your work if you're having snags and we need to go in there and look. All of your work stored on secure servers in the US. Now, if you choose to go in the forums and manually upload your work for the community to critique, then of course the community is going to see it. Or if you send in your work for one of our YouTube-based contests, then of course people are going to see it. But if it's just in the writer's desk, then your work is secure.
Good to know. So, comparison to other tools. I think this is a big thing. I know in our community in particular, we have a lot of other tools that we promote. We promote Plotter, we promote Pro Writing Aid, we promote well, Scrivener isn't a sponsor, but there's someone that a lot of a tool that a lot of people in our community use. And the question that, and they're all wonderful tools and all do different things excellently in their own fields. So whenever somebody comes to you guys and says, I'm interested in AutoCrit, how is it different than the other tools? And do I need more than one? What should I do? And when do I get it?
I think that's a great question. And as a writer myself, it's one that I ask because I tried a lot of other tools before coming to AutoCrit as a lifetime member about 5 years ago. But really, what sets AutoCrit apart today is the ability to have all these individual functions in one place and have the built-in communities and built-in support from writing instructors. And I feel like having that all in the one platform has been fantastic. So not only can you do voice to text dictation to write the book on the go or edit your book in the system or do basic formatting before you send it to your formatter, but then you can also tie in the community element, tie in the writing class element instead of bouncing around to a bunch of other places. But for example, you can use Grammarly for spelling and grammar checking with AutoCrit now just by putting your Grammarly extension and toggling it on, and we have the ability to use both at the same time. But we want to make our platform as easy as possible to do everything you need to do as a writer in one spot.
Awesome. Okay, so you mentioned something that I was unaware of completely, and that is that you can do voice to text. Do you guys have an app that allows us to put it on our phone to do this, or how do we do the voice to text? Where is that? Tell me all about this because I love doing voice to text.
The voice to text is new as of October of last year, and it is directly in the writer's desk. So there's no app for AutoCrit because it's 100% web-based. What
Gotcha.
I've been doing is personally pulling up my Chrome browser on my cell phone because
Okay.
I'm a working mom, and the only time I get to write my own books is when I'm cooking dinner, driving somebody
Walking,
somewhere.
doing something.
So I just open it on my Chrome on my phone, click on the very end of the document and hit the little microphone to the right-hand side, and then I can record while I'm doing my other things, and essentially writing when I would be just cooking, just doing something else. And of course, just like any dictation feature, especially if you write fantasy like I do and you got a bunch of fantasy words, you're going to have to go through and do a little cleanup afterward, but
It's
it's
funny. I've
really
been,
simplified. And
that's very cool. Thank you for that tip too on going on the browser. I hadn't thought about that. I use an app called Temi, TEMI. They now, I think they've been bought out by Rev or something, but anyway, they still exist. But the other day I recorded some stuff and good grief, I'm reading the document and I'm like, I don't even know what I was trying to say here because these are very strange words. I mean, I'm sure in my little rom-com, I never said we're going to take over the government, but it's like, what would I have said with my accent? So, that is one of the downfalls of using voice to text is when you go back through it, you have to look very carefully because you might find some really funny things in there. But still, my philosophy is 3,000 bad words on a page or at words that have to be edited are far easier than starting from a blank page. So if you're running short on time, I think and you have these pockets of time where you're doing other things, I love the ability to be able to speak your book out. It's another tool to help you speed up generation. I won't say you're writing because there's a lot of revision to do, but it speeds up the generation process for sure. Okay, so many things here. I just want to remind everyone to go check out the webinar. Now, the webinar that we did is prior to all of these cool new AI tools. So you won't see the story creator, you won't see a lot of those things. But for those of you in the Women in Publishing Summit community, we're doing what we call skills labs, where we go in and it's somebody not from the company, but somebody from our community that uses these tools that does an hour-long webinar presentation. And we'll start these back up after the conference. Usually it's the first Friday of the month. And we'll have somebody come in who yet likes to use the tool and demonstrate how they use it as an author to give more of a feel. But you can also go over to the show notes at womeninpublishingsummit.com/podcast. Look for this Autocrit episode, and you'll find the link to the webinar that shows you the basics on using it to improve your document. So, anything else you want to share about Autocrit before I talk about the special offer that you guys have for our community?
No, we look forward to meeting more of our women in publishing peers, because a lot of us in our team, we're writers. We understand what this process is like. As I said, I've been a writer and a member long before I came on their editing team, and it's been a huge help for my own books. And just to reiterate what you said, Alexa, that Autocrit is not meant to 100% replace the human editing aspect of your book, but it can cut your costs down a
Yeah,
lot. And time. I've personally now used it on 10 books. And I skip the developmental editing phase now. The developmental editors who used to do my book, they now do beta reads, professional beta reads for my books, which took the cost down to about $60 to $100 a book. And then my copy editors now only say my books need human proofreading, so I don't have to pay for line edits or copy edits. I can go straight to proofreading. But I still have it checked. I have a team of about 5 people on my human editing team for every book, but it really speeds up how much I can put out from a publishing perspective, and then how much I'm having to invest. Because if you've done indie publishing very long, you know that your margins are slim as it is.
Yeah, well, you raised such a great point here. And that's, when people, I think the license that we're going to talk about, I think it runs around $200 or $300.
Yes, $349 for the special, which is less than the cost of a year at the $30 monthly rate.
Right. So it's a great deal. But I understand that $350 for people on top of all the other expenses is a lot. But the reason that I'm so passionate about investing in tools like this, especially because their offer is a lifetime license, so it's a one-time fee that's important. The reality is that using a tool like this can help you improve your writing so much that you can do what Catherine just explained. Like, as you get farther along, you'll see that your other recurring editing costs get lower and fewer every time. I know just myself, my first fiction book was very hard for me to write. It took forever. There's a lot of reasons behind that. One being that it was a personal story that actually happened to me that I turned into a fiction book, and that was incredibly challenging. I didn't realize how hard that made it until I started writing the second book that's completely fiction, and it's way easier to write a story about people I'm just making up and events I'm making up, right? Anyway, using these tools, doing these things, there is such a significant difference in the quality of my first draft. Now, not talking about the first draft of each chapter, right? Because those usually need a lot of work regardless, but that's revisions. But the first draft of the book that I'm putting together is like eons different. And I'm still using a developmental editor this time, but I think next time I'm not going to need a developmental editor unless I switch genres. If you're new to a genre, I always encourage a developmental edit, even if it's your 70th book. If it's first time in a genre, you probably need that to make sure that you're on track. But so all of a sudden, $350 doesn't seem like a very big one-time investment if I know that that's going to cut out $500 to $1,500 for me on every forthcoming book beyond that. So that's I don't like to be salesy, what I like to do is help people make those decisions on if a tool and in the investment in a tool is a good thing for them. And I really think that if you are on your first or second or even third book and you're still learning your genre, if you've changed genres, or if you've written five books and are not finding readers and getting sales and doing all the things that you should be by this point in time, sadly, that may mean that there's a problem structurally or in the development of your book that it's just not jiving with readers. And it may be a good time for you to go back and do some assessments. And the cool thing is, you got five manuscripts there that it can go in and analyze for you and help you improve and all those things. So that's my pitch on that. And I do want to say that what their offer is, I don't think we ever came out and said it, but they're giving a special deal on a lifetime license. This is something that we had asked for last year as the sponsorship, and AutoCrit wasn't quite ready yet, but now they do have that lifetime license, and you can find that at womeninpublishingsummit.com/AutoCrit. So make sure you take advantage of that and get some help to help make everything else easier. So, Catherine, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I really, really, I think that the new things that y'all are doing with the tool are just incredible and super cool and super. I love the companies that we work with because AutoCrit and some of the other companies, they're truly invested in helping writers get better at writing, which helps reduce costs in editing, which helps sales, which helps all the things. And also with some of the tools, we didn't get into it today, but that piece where it can analyze, is my book on track with the rom-com? And it tells you why some of these things help you with marketing, messaging, and brand development, and all of those things as well, because it's pointing out why your book is a rom-com or why it's not. And so just so many great things. We could go on and on.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure. I've said before we went live how much I've enjoyed and benefited as a writer, everything that Women in Publishing has put out in my own writer journey. So
Well,
being
thank you.
here on behalf of AutoCrit has just been a huge, huge honor. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And again, thanks to the whole team at AutoCrit for being a sponsor and supporter of the Women in Publishing Summit. We could not bring on this event without our sponsors, and also just the amazing deals that you have, the deal that you have provided for our community is really wonderful. So thanks again. And if you want to learn more about AutoCrit or check out the deal, make sure you go to womeninpublishingsummit.com/AutoCrit. If you want to watch the webinar presentation that really shows and demonstrates the tool, go to womeninpublishingsummit.com/podcast and look through and find this particular episode, and that is linked in there. Or if you're a member of our YouTube community, if you're not subscribed, subscribe. Now it is under Write, Publish, Sell. Sorry for the branding confusion there, but it's youtube.com/write publish sell, and you can search AutoCrit there and you'll find it right away. So thanks again, Catherine. It's been a pleasure, and we'll be back next week with another wonderful episode.
You don't have to give me your heart. You don't have to give it away. You don't gotta.
Thank you for joining us on the Publisher Podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode. Great huge thanks goes to Jasmine Commerce for the use of her song. You can find Jasmine on SoundCloud. Go check out all of her music. We'll see you next time.